Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is the Best Ever You Show, and I'm your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, and we actually have a treat for you guys today. We have Phil Verone, and I'm so excited. Phil, are you there?
I'm there. Aren't you nice? Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're one of my favorites, but you already know that.
We've
been friends for a while, and you're just a great... I want to tell everybody how just genuinely sweet and nice, and you're just a great person, and I love that about you, because you could really be a snot, and you're not.
You know what? You are so right. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you very much. No, that's very nice of you. You know, I always feel that in this business, there's so many times that, you know, you meet people and they really disappoint you and you walk away with that really bad feeling. And I just would never want that somebody to feel like that after meeting me or getting to know me. So I make an effort to really, you know, get to the fans and talk to people. And, you know, we're just human beings. We're just here, and without our fans, without our, you know, friends, we're nothing anyways. So you always got to keep that in mind and stay grounded.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we've joked before, you know, your hair even has like its own celebrity following.
Yeah, I think my hair is actually more famous than me. That's for sure. So it goes through its stages where we actually battle each other. And, you know, I've been having the same person has been cutting my hair for 6 years here in Los Angeles. And the reason why I have her is she's great. Her name is Liz, and she's at this great salon called the Purple Circle over here in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And the day I walked in there is when I moved to Los Angeles. And I brought a picture of Brad Pitt with me. And I went, can you make me look like him? And she started laughing. And she goes,
better
well,
than him.
Yeah, I was like, well, I could try. I was like, well, not his face, obviously. I'll never be that cute. But at least my hair would be nice. And that's it. And we started this great friendship. So she's the only one that touches it. And she does a great job. So.
Yeah. All right. So you've done, you know, I'm trying to figure out even how to introduce you properly, because you've done, like, everything. I think, you know, who doesn't want to be a rock star? I mean, even I want to be a rock star, and I'm the worst singer ever. But, I mean, you're so, you know, you're a drummer. Are there other instruments and things that you can play too? Do you sing, or are you just a drummer?
Yeah, not really. I mean, I can dabble on the piano. Like, that's where I write songs. I kind of, you know, I know chord progressions and also the bass. Just to kind of get around stuff and show ideas. But drums is basic, you know, my main instrument. Yeah. And when I was a kid, I took guitar lessons. The guitar players bore me, and so does guitars in general. So I just, I was so bored playing guitar. I said, I need to beat something up. So I just stuck with the drums. And you know, even though the drummer gets the most flack, you know, for being in the band and, you know, no credit, but really, you know, we're the most important thing in a band, and we're holding, you know, a crappy band together, and they know it. That's why they make fun of us, you know.
Really? I didn't know that. I thought I guess you're kind of right there. I was thinking, see, to me, I'm a drummer person. I mean, I love that. You know, I just love drumming. My little guy follows after you. I mean, he looks at you. Quaid, my little one, he's kind of been, you know, the past few years, he knows you. You know, not personally or anything, but, you know, he's followed you through me. And he got his own set for Christmas. And, you know, we just love drummers. So, but you've been in Saigon Kick. You've been in Skid Row. You've worked with Vince Neil, everybody. I mean, you've toured with. Can you talk about that a little bit, what your life was like when you were doing that, or if you're still doing that? I don't know if you've totally stopped or if you still dabble in it.
Well, you know, it was a dream of mine as a child to become a rock star, like, you know, like who everybody, you know, has these dreams when they're kids. I was very fortunate that when I got out of high school, I was doing very well in high school, and I had the ability to go to college and get a degree, and I actually wanted to be a professional golfer. But instead, I decided to play drums and try to get a record deal. And luckily, I had the greatest parents on the planet that said, sure, we'll support you all the way, just get a job. Which I did, and I was really fortunate to get a record deal when I was 22 and kind of live out this dream, and it was amazing. You know, I mean, although the bands, you know, I've complained about the music business because I think in any business that deals with a lot of money and power and fame, you're always going to find people who are greedy and selfish and you know, will do anything to rip you off, and we certainly had that with our first manager with Saigon Kick. He was an awful, pathetic person that ripped us off nonstop, and literally is the reason why we failed as a band. But, you know, you live and you learn and you get past it. And I really enjoyed that time. It was a whirlwind for me. I got to tour the world. I played drums for a living, which I absolutely loved. I had women crawling all over me, which was fantastic. And, you know, it was just one of those, it was like a fantasy land almost. Unfortunately, as time went by, you know, I got dabbled into drugs and crazy stuff, and I lost a lot of those years, so I feel kind of bad that I, you know, that many of those years were fogged up with, you know, doing so many drugs and blacking out and forgetting about all kinds of stuff. And these days, you know, as I'm sobered up and kind of looking at it, I, you know, I can reflect back and kind of find the good times of it and forget about the bad times and really be grateful that I was able to live this fun life and continue to this day in other ways, you know. And right now I'm in the middle of writing a new book, and I'm telling stories of the fun days, you know, and everyone will have a chance to read them and see what kind of fun we really truly had. And, you know, I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah. Now, what made you, and I think I know the answer to this already, but just for, you know, the listeners and stuff, what made you stop?
I stopped with the music business for a few things, one being my health. After one of the tours, I went to rehab. I, you know, had OD twice, and it was just time to get healthy. You know, it's either I'm going to die or I'm going to get healthy. There was no, I had no middle ground because I was going full steam. You know, cocaine was my choice, and I was doing it, man. And between everything, all the excess, you know, I'm also a guy that rolls the dice on everything in life. I like to go for it. So if I'm going to do cocaine, I'm doing all the cocaine. You know, I'm like one of those guys. So,
yeah.
Which is good and bad, obviously. But so, yeah, I decided that. And also, too, I realized that I really hated the music business, and I hated everything about it, and that wasn't fair because when I was a kid, I was in love with this great idea of becoming, you know, rich and famous and this rock star and being able to play my drums, and I lost that. And I wanted to get that back. I wanted to like drumming again, and I wanted to like why I went into music, which, you know, which was really for the love of music and drumming first and foremost. And it took me a little bit to step back and kind of, you know, reflect and get to that place again. I don't play music still to this day because I'm not ready to jump back into it, and I'm very happy writing and doing some other stuff, you know, some TV shows and all these other things. So I'm just kind of sitting back, and one day if I'm able to play drums again, I certainly will. And I hope that does happen because it'll be a fun time yet again.
Now, jumping forward to today, a few months ago you were in you were on the cover of Playgirl magazine.
You must have seen it. You're tongue-tied. You must have seen it.
Yeah, I know.
First, you have to have an unusually large penis, like I do, and secondly, no, I'm kidding. But basically, you know, these are things that are bucket list items for me, okay? Mm-hmm. And I always wanted to be in Playgirl. I wanted to, I don't know why, but it's something that I wanted to do, just like I want to, you know, eventually have sex with Heather Graham. But that's a bucket list thing that I hope that happens. But right now...
Heather, if you're listening.
So I had a friend of mine contact Playgirl, publicist, and she... And Playgirl went, sure, let's do it. And Playgirl was in this transitional phase where they wanted to kind of, you know, feature more edgy people. And the fact that I came, you know, from sex rehab with Dr. Drew, it's this angle that everybody wanted to kind of play. And we did. It was fun. It was a little stressful. It was a two-day shoot in New York. And it's one thing to be naked with somebody and perform, and it's another to be naked and be able to perform in front of people and keep certain things erect for certain amounts of time and stuff like that. So it was a little bizarre, but we had a good time.
Now, are there, when you do something like that, are there like 100 people in the room?
No, there was only about 6 people, I think, but there was actually a funny story. We ended up shooting, one of the locations was this tiki bar, and the idea was is I was going to go into a photo booth, and I was going to take pictures of myself naked so those photo strips would come out, and the photographer was going to shoot me in the photo booth, you know, doing my own photo shoot, which was this really great concept. So we did that. However, the person that opened the bar for us was this bartender, this really, really attractive girl. She was up front in the bar just, you know, checking out, you know, just watching over the bar, and we were way in the back, so she didn't see anything. Well, just like anything else, the photographer has his eye on this red booth in the front of the bar. So I don't think she was aware of what was going on until I walked out completely naked, fully erect in a pair of a Chuck Taylors and sat on the booth, you know, with basically, you know, full attention. And then I looked at her and I go, "Hey, how you doing?" And I said, "You don't see this often, do you?" She's like, "No, I really don't." And I said, "Well, at least you have, you know, a story for your bar people tonight."
Something,
you know, I mean, it's not something. So we get done with the shoot, you know, and I'm sitting there trying to, you know, be all whatever. And she was really, really, really beautiful. So after the shoot, I went over to her and I was like, "Can we just call this our first date and get on to the second one?" And, you know, she's like, I don't think anybody would ever call this a first date, you know. So it kind of like, it kind of broke the ice and we laughed about it, but it was fun. And just for the record, I mean, the Playgirl issue came out in December of last year and it was out for 3 months. So if somebody hasn't seen it yet, you can go to my website, philverone.com, and order it right off my website. And I actually personally sign it for people. So you can still get it right now if you want to see it. And I also added a couple of behind-the-scenes video of me in the shower on the Playgirl shoot on my website as well to have some fun with. So just check out philverone.com and go shopping and have some fun.
Yeah. And that's always good also to tell people your website, because a lot of people, I was going to do that, a lot of people follow along on your website with us while we're on the radio. So that'll be great.
Yeah. Well, philverone.com also, I also blog a lot, and so all my blogs are on there, all the updates, everything like that. You know, I'm on there all the time. So you can definitely, and also you can also email me through there as well if you want to say anything. And I'm also on Facebook, as everyone knows. So, I'm pretty accessible, to say the least.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you can email. You respond very well, too. I mean, quickly and, absolutely. Do you want to talk a little bit about your comedy?
Sure.
You're a good drummer, Playgirl, comedy, you do it all. What are you doing as far as comedy goes these days?
Well, these days, right now, what I'm working on is I created a show back about 4 years ago called the Sex Stand-Up and Rock and Roll Show. And I started it over at the Improv here in Hollywood, California. And I kind of developed it over about 3 years. And now we're talking about putting it actually out on the road, which has been my dream. This is more of a dream than getting a record deal, to be quite honest with you. I really want to put this thing on the road and get it to the masses, and that's what we're working on right now. It's a very cool show. It's a variety show. It has rock stars and adult stars and comedians and novelty acts, ventriloquists, magicians, all kinds of fun stuff. It's basically a traveling circus, but really top-quality performers. And we do gift bag giveaways of adult toys, and we just have a really good time. And so we're trying to put this out on the road now. We're hoping to start touring sometime in the summer, around the July area, and continue out as long as we can. So that's the plan right now.
Now, have you always been funny?
Well,
is that part of your nature? I mean, I know you're really smart, and when you're really, really smart like you are, wit is always, you know, pretty, you know, something that comes from people who are generally that smart. Have you always been like that?
I have to say, I mean, my father is hysterical. You know, my family is very funny. And I feel, I like to think that I'm funny, but you know, being funny around friends and getting up on stage and being funny is two different things. My analogy to that is most of the people on American Idol that go and audition because they think they sound good as singers in the shower, and their friends think that they sound good as singers. But when they get in front of real people, they sound like crap. Well, with comedy, it's the same thing. Yeah, I'm funny, you know, around my friends, but actually to get up on stage and write material, well, you know, that can be debated, how funny I really am on stage. But around people, yeah, I think that I have an odd sense of humor. And, of course, on Facebook, my status is every day I try to stir the pot, and half the
I'm
stuff
going
I
there.
Come up
Hold
with.
On.
half the stuff I come up with is, you know, it's just bull crap just to get people crazy. But I do enjoy writing, and my blogs especially. Like, if you want to read some of my brain, go to my blogs on philverone.com, and you can read through them and see exactly, you know, where I'm at as far as my sense of humor and how my writing style. It's very, you know, that's the best.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best way to really kind of find out.
Can I read one of them?
The
birth certificate. If you wonder why the United States is a world laughing stock, it's because our president had to waste time addressing this bullshit. I don't agree with things that Obama has done, but this only proves that the Republican Tea Party is made of a bunch of ignorant, despicable assholes trying to start trouble. Idea. Have you a real idea to argue about before you open your mouth? Okay. Talk about that one.
That's all I say. Awesome. I mean, you know, I'm an independent. I'm a registered independent. I voted for Obama, I did, and I voted for change because I think that the last 8 years were god-awful. And, you know, you can argue all you want, but the country is in a really bad place right now. And instead of pointing fingers on George Bush and how bad he was and stuff, I say let's fix things. And the only way you can fix things is if you have lucid thought and ideas to fix things, not continue to blame and point fingers and go along with old rules and old, you know, laws. And Obama has done that. I find he failed because he continued kissing Republican ass and continued the proven things that have failed to the United States. With that said, I also know he's an American citizen. I mean, the fact that somebody actually got together and tried to discredit our president. But doesn't everybody understand that when other countries see this, they see how America is falling apart as a nation? Because most of the people that were in this, you know, Bertha party and this teabag party have never left their driveways. They don't know that when we go to Europe, that Europe is laughing at us. That they think we're pathetic and weak and useless because people don't leave the United States or the backyards, and they're ignorant and they do not read a thing. They'll put television on and they'll listen to some idiot like Rush Limbaugh or Glenn Beck, you know, or Ann Coulter, and just talking crap nonstop, which I believe
is
pure entertainment.
In the background now. Have you
What's
seen
that?
Oh, I watch TV and I see him now. Glenn Beck, you know, I'm not the most political, you know, carrying on a political conversation with me will be probably pretty funny because I'm kind of doity too. But when I see Glenn Beck with a pointer and a chalkboard behind him, it makes me cringe.
Well, let me tell you this. The greatest part about America is that our First Amendment rights, and the worst part of America is our First Amendment rights.
First Amendment rights.
I think that like most the human being, it's no secret that I have a low disregard for human beings. I think it's a very flawed thing. It's a creation that's very flawed, and if, as far as I'm concerned, needs a do-over. I think it was a good idea, and then it kind of went awry because that gene that makes everybody turn into greedy idiots and just want to talk is our biggest flaw. However, I do believe that people need a chance to unload and talk. That's what's so great about a free country. However, I think it's abused. And people like Glenn Beck, people like Rush Limbaugh, who are clearly in another dimension of nonsense, are, you know, I think hurt more than help. Now, for someone like me, I'll listen to Rush Limbaugh and go, yeah, well, you know, he's just a drug addict that's talking crap. It's great entertainment. Just like you would listen to Howard Stern and go, wow, I don't agree with him, but it's entertainment. You know, like that's what it is. Unfortunately, for some reason, this race of people actually kind of get behind Rush Limbaugh and start these movements believing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's pretty sad that because our president is black, all of a sudden he's not American. I'm waiting for Donald Trump now to come out and say, you know, President Obama is not even black. I have documented that he tans three times a day. I have documented stuff that he's actually a white guy. And, you know, and that's how stupid it is. And I'm so glad that the president made reference to carnival crap and, you know, and these sideshows, because that's what it is. I mean, and it's pathetic. And is Obama doing the right thing? I think that he's missed heinously. But I also think that calling him non-American and racist remarks and releasing pictures of him as a monkey is total bullcrap. That's awful. That is awful across the board, whether you're white, black, red, orange, whatever. You know, I'm not racist. I never have been racist. Mm-hmm. I've never used a race card. And I think that is despicable and awful. And quite frankly, this country needs a woman president because women are far superior than men. And we need someone in there that can actually get something done and is not going to be in a pissing contest with other men, because that's what the government is. It's just a pissing contest until one of these senators gets caught with a hooker or you know, giving oral sex to a boy in the bathroom, and then they're out. And until then, yeah, it's a pissing contest. And that's what America is made of, and it's sad. And, you know, unfortunately, what can we do? We can just vote. And even when we do vote, we vote for change.
Huh? I have trouble even voting. Even at sometimes a local level, we'll get off politics here in a minute, but we look and we go, that's it? Out of everybody here, these are the choices? And that's the conversation we have here. We're going, oh, my God, this is the best that we can do, and neither one of us can figure out if it's some pile of money behind somebody that propels them forward or what, but wow, yeah. Anyway, so I trust you have your hat for the wedding. fancy hat that you're supposed to have for a royal wedding. Oh, my gosh.
Don't get me started on this wedding. Listen, I wish them nothing but the best, okay? This is not about that, but I'm beyond over 24-hour day coverage. Do you realize that we just had a tornado hit and people died in the United States, but no one gives a crap about that because we're worried about what this woman's going to wear as a wedding dress. And I find that offensive. And I find that the fact that America has to bask in the glory of another country because we're so sad and pathetic. You know what? I don't see the UK putting on television watching the United States going, wow, I wish I was over there for the United States, because we're sad and pathetic. And I think one day, I just hope that one day we have something, because we had that with Obama, with the election.
Yeah.
This man, you know, went to Germany and 500,000 people showed up just to see this hope and see this new thing. And now we have a beaten down dude that has to prove that he's an American because of a bunch of ignorant people that watch Sarah Palin's friggin' reality show. I mean, what is America these days? It's awful. So that's my point with this wedding. You know, it's like I wish them the best, and I hope they live long. And I think Princess Di was a class act. That is they broke the mold on her. And unfortunately, just like anything else, the good ones always die young, and scumbags like Bernie Madoff and all these other, you know, people stay around forever to rip off people and do bad for the world. But such is the world, you know, that's the way it is. So I do wish them the best. I just want it to be over with already. That's all.
As long as it doesn't cut
into my NASCAR, then I'd be okay. So
I want to talk to you about that, too. Yeah, this is what I love about you, because you're so real, you're so reachable, you have opinions that make sense, and, you know, you're just cool. So I hope people, I know your friends, your Facebook is like my Facebook, where it's just packed, so people probably need to join your fan page. Are you posting this stuff on your fan page also?
Yeah, I'm on the fan page as well.
Good.
I go on there and I have fun, and my fan page is also hooked to my Twitter, so anything I put on my fan page, it immediately goes. But yeah, you know, unfortunately with Facebook, they only allow you 5,000 friends,
but if you
go to the Phil Verone fan page, I only have like 1,012 people on my fan page. So I don't have that many people. I'm actually going to dislike my page because I don't think that I'm that good because I only have 1,000 fans over there. That's what but you can definitely, you know, get caught up on everything. And also too, my page itself is open to the public. Even if you're not my friend on Facebook, you could still read everything and be involved.
Cool.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what's your Twitter address? Is it just Phil Verone?
It's the Phil Verone at Twitter.
All right.
Phil Verone.
Phil Verone. Okay. And then talk about NASCAR for a little bit. I was going to ask you about that too. You're a huge NASCAR fan. Do you know any of the people and things like that? Or
yeah, well, when I was in Skid Row, we used to go to a bunch of races, and we got to know the drivers real well, and we just had a blast. I started watching NASCAR back in 96, and I'm a nutcase. Like, I can't, it's my church. You know, like, Sunday is like, I don't want to hear a word, NASCAR's on. I mean, last week for Easter, they didn't race, and I was, like, depressed. So, I live for NASCAR. I love it. Tony Stewart's my guy, and he's been for, you know, as long as I've been watching, and I just love it. I think it's great.
do you collect, you know, cars and things like that too, or just watching it in public and things like that?
No, I have hats and shirts. I'll go that far. Okay. I don't collect the cars or anything, but yeah, I'll put my Tony Stewart hat on. Oh, I'm sorry, I have coffee mugs too. So yes,
okay.
I'll have coffee in my Tony Stewart mug and put my hat on to watch stuff. So
yeah.
It gets that bad.
I secretly collect Hot Wheels cars, so I've no idea. It must be
having
cool boys or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so girlfriend wise, how are we doing there?
Good. Well, my fiance Asha, she's poor girl. She has to put up with me. She's fantastic. But yeah, we're doing really good. Yeah, she's
how do you
the greatest
say her first name?
Asha.
Asha. Yeah, I keep wanting to say Aisha, but it's Asha. And
yeah.
What does she do?
She's property management. She runs she works for a big building management company, and they manage luxury high rises. And she's that's what she does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's got one of those really good jobs.
Yeah, and she has to kind of put up with a little bit, huh? In the past and things like that. Is she pretty cool? She seems like she's really a gem.
She's beyond cool, but so smart, you know. And mm-hmm. and that's what I love about her is you know my rants that you just heard me talk about politics. She stands toe to toe, and is so knowledgeable. And is so smart of the world and what goes around. We can sit here and discuss stuff for hours about politics and everything like that. We're both like insane. We love ancient shows like the Roman times and all these great shows. We just love all that. In fact, we're planning a vacation to go to all these great Roman what do you call it? Like the Colosseum and all these great places that they found, they've unearthed, like all these. We were just watching a show on Atlantis, and we're like, let's go find Atlantis. You know, like we're into that big time. So we get along really great, and she's so smart, and she's one of those people that if I'm having a bad day or I need advice on something, like my book or whatever, she's always there for some solid advice. And she lets me do whatever, and she supports whatever my decision is. Even if she's against it, she's always there to support. So that's a good woman. You know?
Yeah, no, I really adore her. And I think, I mean, I call it you guys match. You just, for some reason, you could just tell in your pictures and everything, you just match.
It's very cool to see. Yeah, and the sad part is I'm going to have to break up with her today. But you know what? We had a good time. And no, I'm kidding, of course. I'd be lost without.
On the
without.
Radio, too. Not even
yeah. Oh, but can I break up with her real quick right on the radio?
Yeah,
I'm going to tell her to go listen
ahead.
To this. Honey, it's been good knowing you, but all your crap is on the lawn, just so you know. But anyway.
He's mine. No. All right. I know you have a really busy day, and we're at that 30-minute mark. So I should probably let you go do your thing. And, you know, unless you want to keep talking or maybe we could just schedule a different time.
I would love to come back. I'm actually working on something right now that I can't announce just yet, but I certainly will. So once we're ready to announce all that stuff, maybe I can come back and we can talk about it a little more. It's going to come out in about 2 months, and we're in the process of getting it all together. So today's been one of those insane days. And, of course, when you have a daughter in college as well that calls me every 3 seconds because, you know, she needs money for gas and food and she's dying and all that fun stuff. So you're dealing with all that as well. But I will definitely be back on. I really appreciate you having me, of course, and listening to my gibberish, as always.
Oh, no, we love you. And everybody listening, please go to philverone.com. Please buy his magazines.
Yeah.
Look for all the new things he's got coming up. Go on his tour with him, whatever you're going to do. But, you know, philverone.com and Twitter, The Phil Verone, and Facebook and all that stuff. So, and when we're done here on the radio, we'll post some stuff in Best Ever Community and on besteveryou.com and so forth too, so that people can listen to the radio show later if they missed it, if they're at work or whatever. But we thank you very much, Phil, for being with us today, and I just can't thank you enough. You're one great person, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Okay. Have a great day.
All right. You too. Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye.